Morning, saints.
Morning.
As I mentioned last week, and I'll probably mention it every week, this series is more of a teaching rather than a preaching, so there will be a lot of information in it, not so much exposition of Scripture at all, really. Because it's topic-based, so we're talking. And at some point, when I finish describing what apostles are and what they do, I'm going to get you to talk about it with your neighbor or with a couple of people around you, just so that you have time to chew over some of the information. And then I've got another little bit afterwards, and then we can have a bigger chat afterwards if you want to ask any questions and things like that. So it'll be more like a seminar rather than a preach, but hopefully there'll be something that you can learn from it. And the idea that of going through all the five gifts was that you can find out not only who you are, but also what you learn what everybody else is, and you begin to have a greater respect for everybody else's gifts as well, and what they're like. Because I found previously, when people didn't understand the reason, didn't understand another person and the way they were behaving, it was because they didn't understand the gifts that they had, and they didn't understand how people related together and how the different gifts will jar against other gifts in that way. So yeah, and I should just make mention of this, otherwise it's plagiarism. Much of what I will say comes from this book, which is The Permanent Revolution, and it looks at fivefold ministry in detail, particularly at apostolic ministry, and that's what we're going to talk about today, which is apostles, while we wait for the band to go past. Good. So I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verse 10, just a few verses. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of God's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." So, last week we talked about an overview of fivefold ministry, and we talked about the fact that we mentioned that all five of the gifts from Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds or pastors, and teachers, were all five are found in the person of Jesus Christ. And in that passage that we just read, we see in verse 15, the Word became flesh. Basically, that whole bit was, this is Jesus being sent to the world. Just as Jesus was sent to the world, so he sent other people. For example, in Luke chapter 9, he sent the 12. In Luke chapter 10, he sent the 70 or the 72. And then after he was resurrected, he came to the disciples again. In John 20, verse 21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He sends the disciples then. And then in Acts 1 and 2, we see more commissioning of the disciples. And then again on the day of Pentecost, we see that the entire church is sent by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was a sent one. And we look at the word apostle. It's used in the New Testament over 80 times. So it's an important word. Now, it was originally a word referring to somebody who was on a diplomatic mission, or somebody who was sent by a businessman to go and do business for them. They were an apostle. They were somebody who was going to go and They had a task or a role they had to fulfill. They were sent for a purpose. And it comes from the idea of an ambassador. So just as an ambassador takes and speaks for the queen or the government as they're away, in that country that they're sent to, it's the same with an apostle. They go like an ambassador. And so what happened was, over the course of time, the church used this word, and the meaning is slightly different. In the New Testament, you get two different types of meaning. You get apostle in the technical sense, which means a person who has seen and been commissioned by the risen Christ. That's the technical sense of the word. So the apostle, the 12, they're apostles. They're the technical apostles. And Paul, he's also a technical apostle. Why? Because he saw the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and he was commissioned. So that's apostle in the technical sense. The non-technical sense, the sense that we understand it in terms of the gifts, the fivefold gifts, are those who have been sent by the church. And in fact, if you read the book of Acts, you will see that there are loads of different types of apostles who have been sent by the church. And that's the way we understand it. People, sent ones, with a purpose. Now, this isn't just related to the church. This word doesn't relate just to the church, because if you think about the world, there are lots of different people who are sent ones. There are lots of different people who like to pioneer new things. There are lots of different people who guard the kind of the values and things of their kind of company or whatever they're part of. And they're often on the edge of something new. We call them entrepreneurs, for example. An entrepreneur, somebody who sets up a new thing, feels sent to go and do this, and they think, I've got to start this new thing. It might be a teacher who is sent to go and turn around a failing school. And you get them, the so-called superheads. They're sent in to go and transform the nature of a school. You've got people who start movements of sorts. I think about Richard Curtis and the comic relief movement. It's worldwide. It's incredible. And that's, you would call him an entrepreneur or a kind of an apostle. People who start business ventures. I think of people like Steve Jobs in Apple, the late Steve Jobs. He was the guy, he pioneered stuff that you didn't know you wanted to buy until they made it. It's incredible. The iPad, this thing, these have been around for a lot longer than he invented them. But because he came up with a name and a concept, people flocked to it and wanted to buy them. He's like an apostle, an entrepreneur. For the church then, just thinking about the church, we've got to think about, well, what is an apostle and what do they do? And there are three things that I want to draw your attention to. They extend the gospel. That is the first thing. They extend the gospel of the kingdom. And the second thing is they embody and catalyze God's expanding rule. And the third thing is they're fully dependent on the Holy Spirit. So if we click along to the next one. And this gives you the little thing. So you've got two sub-points in this. This is why I did it this way. You got two sub-points in this. So the first one about extending the gospel is they spread or they seed the gospel. And the second thing in extending the gospel is that they safeguard the movement by guarding the gospel. So the gospel is central to an apostle's ministry. It's absolutely essential. Without it, there's no frame of reference. So if we click along to the next one, we get to spreading the gospel. This is the DNA of God's people. You see, the heart of an apostle is to pioneer new things. It's to seed the gospel. They want to advance the gospel into new contexts and cultures and to plant it. And we see this in starting the church in Acts. You've got Jesus' first encounter, throughout the Gospels and Acts, you've got Jesus' encounter with the first disciples and then the people around him. And then that spreads out slightly and moves to the surrounding area, only using Jewish communities at first. And then eventually you get to Paul and he's using his formula of Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone. For the Jew first and then for the Greek. And you see, Paul in his missionary journeys reflects that. He starts with the synagogues. If they don't want to know, he moves on and he goes to the Gentiles, to everybody else. And we see this in churches today that are apostolic. Churches that are apostolic are always planting something new. There's a new thing always happening. It's part of what they are. Planting, seeding new ways of the gospel into a particular area. So that's the first thing. The second thing, if we click again, they safeguard the movement. Believe it or not, the church actually is a movement. It's not just an organization or an institution. If you have an institution mindset, the way you will think about church is that it's a place that you bring people to come into to be part of your club. That's what institution mindset does. But the church isn't an institution. It's a dynamic, it's a growing, it's an organic movement. It grows and it, like cells, it needs to reproduce. And so part of that is that the apostles not only seeding new ways of reproduction in the area or in a particular area, they also safeguard the gospel. They make sure that the main thing is the main thing. So once the church is founded and rooted, there is always the possibility of just going off on a tangent and just not quite keeping central to the gospel. We call those heretics, the people that like to move us off to things. But an apostle will say, oh, hang on a minute, this is the gospel. This is the gospel I learned. And you see it with Paul in his letters. He's addressing core issues in Romans. He's addressing the gospel itself. The church in, he's talking about the church in the letter to the Ephesians. In Colossians, he's talking about understanding the fullness of Christ. In Corinthians, he's addressing all kinds of different things and drawing people back to the gospel. And he's talking about the end times in Thessalonians, for example. Paul, if you look at his ministry, he's always drawing people back in to the center, the heart of the gospel. This is the gospel I preached, you'll hear him say on countless occasions. This is the gospel I brought to you. So apostles, they want to make sure that the main thing is the main thing always. Their heart is for the gospel, but they want to keep the gospel the gospel. They don't want to change it and allow it to be morphed into something that it isn't. And you can see this in my own kind of emphasis as I've journeyed and kind of come to understand who I am in Christ and who he's made me to be. I'm always out for new things. I'm desperate to do something new. But at the same time, wherever we are, I'm always about guarding the gospel. I want to extend the gospel. I want to seed it. I want it to go as far as possible. But I'm desperate that we keep the main thing the main thing. The gospel is good news. Let's not make it something that it's not. And for example, part of that is discipleship and making sure that we're always discipling and making sure we're growing as believers in Christ. So, for example, somebody might say to me, oh, Ian, I've had this really good idea and I really want to do something about this. And I'm like, that's great. As long as it doesn't distract from the main thing, which is to be a people who make disciples who make disciples. And you'll hear me say that all the time because I'm an apostle. That's the way I think. It's the way I'm wired. It's the way God's made me to be. So that's the kind of the first main heading of apostle. They extend the gospel of the kingdom by seeding or spreading the gospel as an extending ministry, planting new churches and things like that. And then they also safeguard the movement by guarding the gospel. The kind of the core DNA, the core codes, as they talk about in the book, they call them the codes of the church. So that's the first thing. How are you with me so far? Who hasn't understood anything I've said? Be honest. Oh, you're well. You're doing well. You can be honest. I mean, I know it's scary. Somebody might look at you if you raise your hand. But be honest. If you don't understand something, you can even shout out. I don't mind. Go for it. So the second thing, if we click on to the next big circle, they embody and they catalyze God's expanding rule. And there's another two things in here. So as part of the mission of extension, apostles in themselves demonstrate the rule of God, but they also catalyze the same attitude in the church. They spark it off. You know how in science you've got to have some reactions won't take place unless there's a catalyst to get it to happen? That's what apostles are. They're like a catalyst for making sure that God's rule is happening in the church. And then the church becomes the demonstration of God's rule in the world. So if we click on to the next one. This is a jargon phrase, networks movement by maintaining a sense of common purpose in God's people. I'll tell you what that means. They cultivate, is another phrase from the book, they cultivate translocal, don't worry if you don't understand what that means, fully networked movements through vision, purpose, and the management of meaning. What does that mean? It means this, simply this. I've boiled it down to this. An apostle's life is all about meaningful connection. It's all about meaningful connection. It's and in relation to an apostle's leadership style, if they are called into leadership, it's not about a top-down structure. Never about a top-down structure. Can't be with a head at the top and then minions on the bottom. It doesn't work that way for them. But they relate to people. But you hear, the way an apostle will structure things is that people relate to the leadership because it's only because it's meaningful to do so. You with me so far? They relate because it's meaningful to do so. So an apostle or someone apostolic will naturally relate to people on the basis of purpose and meaning, not just because of hierarchy in the church. I'll explain what that means now with an illustration. I went to BU Council. Now, in the structures of the Baptist Union, we've got Baptist House, and lots of you know, the General Secretary is there, and she has her team of people, and then there's specialist teams, and then there's Council. BU Council meets kind of twice a year, and there's the Baptist Steering Group, and again, it's a little bit of a hierarchy, and then you've got regions, and then you've got regional ministers, and then you've just got people like me who are just normal ministers, and then you've got churches who are part of the union. If you look at it in a worldly sense, that's a very top-down structure. It's a very top-down structure, and it really shouldn't be, and it's actually un-Baptist, but I'll leave that to one side for a moment. See, I went to BU Council to lead worship because I was asked to, because I have a relationship with Lynn Green, who happens to be the General Secretary. And I placed myself under the authority of Council for that 2 days when I went up to the Hayes because I was asked to do so. Why? Because it was meaningful for me to do so, because there was purpose behind it, because I knew who she was. I had a relationship with her. Does that make sense? So in my networking, I will only network with people, not because I feel I should, but because actually it's meaningful for me to do so. Hey, we can network with this church over here because they've got something we need and we can share some resources together. But similarly, we've got something they need. So let's bless them. Let's have a give and take relationship. For example, I'm not saying we're going to do that necessarily, but that's just the idea behind it. Does that make sort of sense? Any questions on that yet? Because you can shout out. So apostles and their leadership style is about meaningful connection with people. And apostles will develop a system of meaning and manage that as we go through. And the next thing they do under this heading of embodying and catalyzing God's expanding rule is this. If we click on to the next one. They create the context and embody. They create the context for other APEST ministries to emerge. So, for prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, you need an apostle kind of to help legitimize the rest of the gifts. And what does that mean? They create the environment for. Do you know, I was under the ministry of a prophet. I mean, this guy was so, and we'll talk about it next week, prophets. Prophets are so bent on truth and making sure that the truth is the truth and you follow the truth, and they will weed out a liar like that. they will say, "No, you're lying. I don't agree with that. You're wrong." And they'll know if you're lying to them. And this guy, he just knew if you were lying, he'd tell you to your face. He'd say, "No, you know that's a lie. Come on, tell me." And he had an issue in his first church where he'd asked for the minutes of previous church minute meetings. And the secretary said, "Oh yeah, I'll get them to you." Months had gone by, 2 or 3 months had gone by, still no minutes on his desk. And he was like, "I need the minutes of previous church meetings. Secretary comes to him and says, I can't give them to you." "Why not?" "Because they don't exist." So at that point, he's got a job on his hands. But he had this gift of just bringing this stuff to light that people didn't want to see. That's a dangerous position to be in if you haven't got apostle at the helm, making sure that the gospel is central. Because otherwise, it all becomes about this truth thing that the prophet's gone off on one. Do you see where I'm going with that? You need to have the apostle to legitimize the rest of the ministry. Because what happens is, if we go to the next slide, you'll see a table. It probably won't make much sense to you. But you see there's little arrows going up and up and up. If you're at the back, you won't see it. It's too small. But it says apostolic creates the environment for the prophetic. The prophetic creates the environment for the evangelistic. The evangelistic creates the environment for the pastoral. The pastoral creates the environment for teaching. And this is I'll just read the first bit where it says, "Without apostolic ministry, the rest of APEST ministries, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, have no practical reference point and therefore lack legitimacy. As such, the apostolic creates the primary field of New Testament ministry and is crucial to the recovery of the missional church." Basically, it creates the right environment for everybody else to have a legitimate ministry. It just creates that environment. Doesn't say that the apostle's got to be at the top, because that would go against what I just said, because it's not about top-down leadership. It's about what I would like to say, it's about a decentralized leadership, so it's about leadership that happens, as we go. It's not this kind of top-down, the minister says we do it, and so we do it. It's not that. I want us to be in a position where we move into a more kind of flat leadership structure where there's all kinds of different leaders and we all relate to each other in different ways for different purposes. So it's not about top-down leadership, but it's about creating the right environment for each one. So just creating the environment for the prophetic, apostolic ministry creates the environment that gives birth to all the other ministries. This is so because it hosts the missional DNA of Jesus' church. It thus forms the reference point for all the other fivefold ministry. It births the prophetic because it establishes the covenant community. And together with the prophet, the prophetic, it forms the foundational ministry of the church. So Ephesians 2:20, when it says the church is built upon the foundation of the prophets, of the apostles and the prophets, both in the non-technical and the technical sense. Right, I'm sure you've all got a headache now. Believe me, I did it in about 3 hours. So, and this is all, if you want to know more, it's all very nuanced in the book. It's all very nuanced in the book, and it will give you more detail, but it does use jargon language, which is why I'm trying to just trim it down a bit so it's not so jargony. An example of what I'm talking about in this idea of creating the right environment for and the networking aspect is you look at the Vineyard churches. You know that there's a church called the Vineyard Church, and they're everywhere. They're all over the world. And the reason they're so successful and they grow like wildfire is not because they have loud blaring music, which young people are attracted to. It's because they network together on a meaningful basis. Because it's meaningful for them to network, that's how they network together. Because they're all of the same mind. And they had John Wimber, who was the apostle who founded the network movement. And because of that, it created the environment for all these other ministries to evolve and to emerge. And you see it with things like the Baptist Fresh Streams Network and the More Anglican New Wine Network. We relate to each other because it's meaningful for us to do so. And it helps to catalyze the rule of God in the church. So those are the four kind of main roles of apostle. And I read that and I thought, I don't do any of that. I'm stuffed. So this is interesting. We'll see how we go in the next year or so. If you move on to the next one, the last thing, very quickly, they are fully dependent on the Holy Spirit. So those four things reflect the tasks of an apostle. And what we must never do in all of these fivefold gifts is this: neglect the reality of the working of the Holy Spirit and the dependency. An apostle's legitimacy, because you're like, well, hang on a minute, if the apostle legitimates the rest of the gifts, who legitimates the apostle? Well, ironically, it's the other four, but it's mainly the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who does that. Because an apostle has got to be completely submitted to the say-so of the Holy Spirit. Any work in church that's to be truly apostolic must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit for its inspiration and its fuel. Right. That's the three main points. Has anybody got any questions?
See how it distinguishes from the pastor. It to me, it all seems muddled with the evangelist, and I can't quite see how the apostle is a separate thing.
Okay.
From the rest.
So, if did everyone catch that? So, Stephen's trying to differentiate between the gifts as a whole in his brain, because he was, and I would say that probably comes from 17th centuries, not personally. But of being, yeah, because he's that old. You didn't realize. He looks good for his age, doesn't he? I would say that comes from an understanding of the pastor is always the pastor. We've misused the term pastor, and we've called it the leader of the church. Well, New Testament ministry didn't do that. The apostles were the leaders of the church. They were the ones that led the church. And so, this, in terms of leadership structure, apostle is different. An apostle's main, it doesn't mean that you can't access all five. Let's just say that at the beginning. You've got apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. You've got the five gifts. Now, of these five, you will have one gift that is your thing. It's who you are. It's like you'll always have grace enough. So if you're a teacher, for example, you'll always have enough grace to teach and explain things to people in new ways. It's just who you are. It's the way you live. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a season where you are perhaps prophetic. So you spend time with somebody who's prophetic and you catch a gift. And you start prophesying over people. Truth becomes really concerned for you. So in your teaching, perhaps you become more concerned about the truth of the gospel and that kind of thing. And you really, you know, like that. So in terms of differentiating, apostles' role is very, it creates this difference. You've got me thinking now. I've got to try and work out how I'm going to explain it. But it's different from a pastor. In a pastor's role is to care for the flock. But an apostle's role is not so much to care for the flock. That is important to an apostle. But, you know, and you'll know this from me because my pastoral care is not the greatest of my gifts. I mean, I try my hardest, bless my soul. I try my hardest, but it's not naturally, it doesn't come natural to me. I have to really work myself up to being caring because that's not who I am. My main thought is I want to be out there extending the kingdom. I want to say, how many different churches can we plant in Westbury in different ways? And what are they all going to look like? That's what my concern and my heart is. So while I might have the title pastor, I'd rather be called minister because it just means servant. Just call me servant. Call me serve for short. Just long, yeah, not sir, because that's just wrong. Does that help a little bit answer your question? I'll clarify that. We'll get to that when we talk about evangelists. You'll understand a bit more. Evangelists, their heart is to go out and connect with people individually. Whereas an apostle's extension of the kingdom is, they're thinking about systems and ways in which you can extend the kingdom. Yes, a much more broad focus. It's big picture thinking. So in my brain, I'm thinking about Westbury as a whole. I'm thinking about 16,000 all at one time. Whereas an evangelist, it's whoever's in front of them. They're like, right, I'm gonna go with this, you know. So there's that bit better. Yeah, good. Perhaps I didn't listen to the question. Any other questions? Are you all afraid now? Did you want to talk about it next door with your next door neighbour and think about it? No, Mike's saying, no, I don't want to do that. You don't have to. There is an opt-out clause. If you want to be introverted, you just, you know, if you had a phone, you could just fiddle with your phone. That's fine. Well, if we click on to the next one, and I'll show you this last thing that I have to talk about because it revolutionized my understanding of apostolic ministry. Galatians 2, if you want to turn to it, Galatians 2, verse 7. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel, this is Paul talking about his visit to the apostles in Jerusalem. When they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, that's the Gentiles, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, the Jews, for he who works through Peter, making him an apostle to the circumcised, also works through me in sending me to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, so that's James and Peter and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace of it that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they, excuse me, to the uncircumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. So that passage, particularly in verse 8, talks about two different types of apostle in the New Testament. You've got Paul, who's the archetypal apostle. He goes out and he plants new things, and he's with the Gentiles. He's not even with the Jews, and he's extending the kingdom to all kinds of people. And then there's Peter. Bless him, Peter, he likes to stay at home. He's set apart and he's sent to the church, but he stays in Jerusalem. And what he does, and you notice as he moves around, he spends more time with Jewish communities. So even when he goes to Joppa, he's with a Jewish community that he's working with. So his role was to mobilize the church for mission. That was Peter's whole apostleship, was to mobilize the church for mission. Now, if you talk to Catholics about this, they will not agree with you at all. Because as far as they're concerned, apostolic succession comes down through the popes. But I just want to let you know that's not quite right. So if you have a conversation with a Catholic about it, you'll have a fun conversation. Just don't get into the argument unless you know what you're talking about, right? But both Paul and Peter still had the same calling as above. If you click onto the next one, please, Graham, it will show you these two concentric circles. You've got Paul on the other side and Peter on the other side. But look at the crossover between the two circles. They're the same. They've got this same calling. They're the custodian of the church. Networker. They're an architect. They're designing systems. They're the guardian of the gospel. They're translocal, which just means that they're based in one area, but they're thinking beyond as well. And then they're a meaning manager, so they create systems of meaning which help people and that kind of thing. So the calling is still the same. Paul and Peter, they've got the same kind of apostolic function. But the difference is this. Paul extends the mission of the church, so he's out with the Gentiles. He's exploratory, so he's going into new areas, like when he's in Greece and he's talking with in the Areopagus, and he's talking to people, and he's saying, "Oh, you've got all these gods, isn't that wonderful? Wow, praise the Lord!" But you've got this one to the unknown God. Let me tell you what he is like. So that's exploratory. He founds new churches, and Paul was always planting new churches. He was cross-cultural, so that meant he was always going to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. He was entrepreneurial. It was new things in new places. And if we flick over to the other side, you've got the Peter type of apostle. Now, he's slightly different. So he's still a custodian, a networker, an architect, a guardian. He's still translocal and a meaning manager. But here's where he differs. He reframes the identity and the mission of the church, which means he's called to the Jewish believers. He's called to the first believers who were Jews. And then he's refounding. This is the word they call it, refounding, which means that he takes the church that's there and he replants the essence of the gospel. Have you noticed over the last 3 years we've been going over the essence of the gospel? We went through Colossians, we went through Peter, we did the Freedom in Christ course. All of that. What I felt I was doing there was replanting the essence of the gospel, who we are in Christ. Refounding. Intracultural. This is a jargon word that so instead of being cross-cultural, he's intracultural, which means he's focused on the Jews only. Spends time with Jewish believers and calls them to mission. And then he's not entrepreneurial, but intrapreneurial, if you want to use a jargon word. Is he takes ideas from the area and into a viable outcome through assertive risk-taking and innovation. That's all jargon stuff. So basically what he's saying is he's birthing new ideas in the existing church. New things are happening within the existing church. You see what that means? See how new things can sprout up. So he's pioneering new stuff, but he's not planting new churches necessarily. He's doing it from the church that already exists. And in my ministry, I can see more of Peter than Paul. Not just in character, because I can fly off the handle just like Peter. But I see in my ministry much more of Peter than of Paul. I'm not desperate to go out and plant a church. I quite happily will. And one of the things they say in the book about Peter type apostles is that they're more comfortable and more patient with systems of church that have been more established. And so here I am in the Baptist system, been established for 400 years. You know, and if I was more Pauline, more of a Paul type apostle, I'd be out there. I wouldn't even be bothering with ministry in terms of Baptist churches. I'd just be going out there and doing stuff. That's what I would be like. So that gives you a bit of an understanding. There are two different types of apostle. Both called to be guarders of the gospel and extend the kingdom, but just slightly different ways. It's Paul and Peter. Any questions? Or are you all bored stiff and you think, why did I come to church today? Why does he have to talk about this? It's all right if you think that. It's okay. Bear with it, because you'll come up, if it doesn't apply to you personally, at least you know what I'm like. And you can put it in frame of reference. And why is he being like that? Oh, because he's apostle. Rather than saying, I wish he would be more pastoral. And wishing me to be something that God hasn't created me to be. So that's, you know, it seems a bit, really I should have started up from the other end and talked about people that weren't me. But I wanted to start with this because it was the easiest for me to just fire out straight away. And it goes in order. So look, where are you? Just take a couple of minutes. Where are you? Do you like to break new ground? Is it something that you've done before in some other venture of your life where you like to start new things? If you're like me, I love to start new things and never finish them. I started to learn Hebrew. I never finished it. I didn't get so far as the alphabet and I just gave up. But I'm happy with that. I was happy to start. I just don't ever finish. Is your heart for the extension and the expansion of God's kingdom in the world? Have you ever thought, ooh, I'd love to be part of something that plants a new church? Do you feel you've been sent to this particular place for this particular time? I know, and have had it confirmed on numerous occasions since I've been here. Oh, you were sent here to Westbury, Ian. Very, very firm in my calling to this place. You were sent here. I didn't come because I wanted to come. Not that there's that comes into it at all necessarily, but I came because I was sent. And don't be offended. I did want to come when God told me I had to come, so don't worry. So just spend a couple of minutes thinking. You can just say to God, well, Lord, that was a fun time of learning, or I'm completely bored and I don't know what to think. And just be honest with the Lord. And if you feel you want to talk about it with somebody, grab somebody and reflect on it. So I'll just give some space for that to happen. Just 2 or 3 minutes. Just for you to reflect. Good. Well, there'll be more time to reflect on that. I'm happy to close the service now. I'll pray for us, and we won't sing again because it's quite late now. let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you've created us all differently, and we're not all the same. We thank you that we see traits of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher in all of us. We thank you that it's part of who we are. And Father, I thank you that you've called your church and you've established your church as one that's founded on these five ministries. That these five things were found in the person and the work of Jesus. And he perfected each one. He was the sent one. He extended your kingdom just by coming. He established your kingdom on the earth. And Father, we must never lose sight that it's Jesus is the reason why we're here, because is the reason why we can call ourselves followers of Jesus, reason why we can call ourselves believers, reason why we can call ourselves little Christs, Christians. And Father, thank you for apostles, people who want to extend your kingdom and let it and watch it grow and make a movement and let it be something that continues to grow. They want to safeguard the gospel. People who create meaningful networks. Father, we thank you for the way in which apostolic in ministry creates the environment for prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching ministries. And Father, I want to pray for all the stuff that's gone over our heads today. And for the stuff that has caught our ear that we just want to inquire more about, I pray you'd work with us on that. And Father, if we found that we've been listening and we just think, well, this is completely irrelevant to me, I can't be bothered, I don't even know why I came, I pray that we'd stick with it and just hear what you're saying to us through it. And Father, I pray for a greater appreciation of the gift as we continue through this series. Father, we thank you that you have created us in your image. And I pray now for anyone who has the inkling, they say, oh yeah, I think I might be a bit apostolic. I might not be a leader, but I feel apostolic. I feel the need to guard the gospel. I feel the need to extend the kingdom. Father, will you just speak to them now by your Spirit? Will you give them grace? and commit all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.